This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. The Trump administration is freezing more than $300 million in funding for child care, food aid, and social service programs in Colorado. The White House Office of Management and Budget says the move is due to concerns that benefits may be going to non-citizens. A spokesperson for Governor Polis says the state has not been formally notified of the freeze and warned the move would target the most needy families and children. The Trump administration also froze funding for California, Minnesota, Illinois, and New York. Colorado's bipartisan effort to override President Trump's veto of a bill to help a Colorado water pipeline failed. GOP Representative Lauren Boebert introduced the bill and says a decades-old promise to bring clean drinking water to southeastern Colorado needs to be kept.
I am disappointed to see the lack of leadership, the amount of people that will fold, that will cave, that will not take a stand. This is a bill that in policy, no one in that chamber disagreed with.
All of Colorado's representatives voted to override the veto, as did all Democrats in the House. Only 31 other Republicans voted to override Trump's veto. 37-year-old Renee Good was shot and killed by federal immigration officers in Minneapolis on Wednesday. Good, who was originally from Colorado, was shot in her car in front of her wife during a traffic stop. A peaceful vigil took place in Carbondale yesterday to honor Renee Nicole Good and all victims of ICE. Around 60 people came to Chacos Park at the corner of 4th and Main just after dark. They brought candles, flashlights, or phone lights that were placed in a circle in the park. The mood was somber and muted, and perhaps tinged with a new flush of anger. KDNK's Chris Hassig was there and brings us this audio postcard.
After the fatal shooting on Wednesday of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis, Mountain Action Indivisible hosted a candlelight vigil at Chacos Park in downtown Carbondale on Thursday night.
It's really moving to see all of you show up tonight in the snow on short notice, but we're outraged and we're horrified by what's happening. So not just what happened yesterday, but also what's happening in our country. I would just offer to you all, right, that it makes a difference what we do. And I've been an organizer for the last 16 years, and I promise you, when people come together, amazing things are possible. So don't take the bait. Don't fall in the trap of feeling hopeless and alone, because we can do this.
When they cut us down, when we stand up for what is right, we can't hide. And we can't stop, and we have to continue to gather, continue to build community, and continue to move forward in a loving and peaceful manner to know that we can overcome. So I think that's why it hits so deep. She could be any of us. And in addition to the loss of her life, there were already 32 people who died in ICE custody in 2025. Their names and their faces were not known to me until today. And so in addition to honoring her life and her story and what she represents, I also want to read the names of the others who have lost their life. Henry Ruiz Guillen, Sarawit Gazahin Dahini, Maxim Chernock, Juan Alexis Teneo Martinez, Brian Garzon Rayo, Nan Nok Nguyen, Marie Ang Blaise, Abelardo Aviende Delegado, Jesus Molina Vella, Johnny Noviello.
Yeah, my name is George Ware, and just upset with what's going on in our country. And it's a horrific murder yesterday.
I know, I just said this one.
I think we all have to stand up. For our country and for democracy.
And what's your name?
Lynn Kessner. I'm just so sad. I don't know what else to say. I just keep showing up. I do what I can do. just like, where are all these people that voted for this administration, and what are they thinking now? I can only say that I only knew one person that was a supporter of this administration, and you know, now they're ghosting me.
I just want to know.
I want them to stand. They need to stand up too.
What's the line? Like, how many moms?
My name is Bettina Slusar.
Terrible.
Yeah, I don't shut up, so people know that. And I've said to some friends, you know, if I get disappeared, you come find me, right? But I didn't think.
And what we had to worry about was being shot for honking our horns.
Right. Yep.
KDNK News, I'm Chris Hassig.
The Telluride Ski Patrol strike is now over. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Julia Caulfield has more.
The Telluride Ski Patrol Union voted to accept Telluride Ski Resort's contract proposal on Thursday, ending a nearly two-week strike.
After long and lengthy discussion, we voted in favor of ratifying a new contract with TSG, and this was our first non-unanimous ratification.
That's Graham Hoffman, president of the Telluride Ski Patrol Union and ski patroller at Telluride for 10 years. Hoffman says while the vote was not unanimous, the contract did pass smoothly with large support.
As in any compromise, no side gets exactly what they want. And we are grateful for the movement that TSG made in the last couple days. We are grateful and we're incredibly proud of where we ended up.
He notes the new contract still does not address their base concerns about a sustainable wage structure.
We are, we're still fighting, and we're dismayed that we are unable to secure, you know, a fair, equitable wage structure that speaks to a sustainable, safe, and secure future for new and experienced patrollers. And we will continue to advocate for that.
He adds the conversation around patrol's wage structure doesn't end with this contract.
We're kicking a different can down the road. And again, we're grateful for where we ended up. We're humbled for the support we received, but this is still something that is a serious concern of ours, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And we hope we are able to address that the next go around.
As for what this contract looks like, Hoffman says they will not be discussing their compensation package.
We have been willing to be fully transparent, and we have bared our wages to the public down to the penny. And I think that we've had enough of people arguing over what is the perceived value of our lives. So we will not be sharing our wage and benefits package.
After 13 days on strike, Hoffman says they're looking forward to getting back to work.
We're looking forward to serving you as the Telluride Ski Patrol once again. And we're looking forward to get as much of this mountain open as quickly as we can. And we will do our very best to safely do so.
He gives big thanks to those who supported Ski Patrol throughout the contract negotiations.
Everyone who has reached out, who has either sent quiet or loud symbols and signs and letters of support, we are so grateful. We know that this was a bit divisive in the community, but we are incredibly grateful for everyone who supported us. And we will look to support the community in turn moving forward.
Hoffman recognizes the strike caused some ugly rifts. He says he hopes the community can come back together.
And I think it also exposed some ugly truths that we're going to have to grapple with as a community. I think it exposed a bit of an ugly underbelly of what is a broken system and what is breaking down here in town. We hope that we will be able to heal and move forward.
In a statement, Steve Swenson with the Telluride Ski Resort said they are delighted the parties came to an agreement. The ski company thanks the community for its patience during the negotiations, saying they're excited to have a great season. The Telluride Ski Resort plans to open Chair 4 on Saturday, January 10th, with Butterfly, Lower Misty Maiden, and Boomerang opening. The next goal is to open the Super Loop with more lifts and terrain to follow. For KOTO and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Julia Caulfield.
And that report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KDNK. This is KDNK News.